raised both his hands to my hips in a bid to bring us closer. I set my hands on his chest, intending to tell him I was sorry, but I couldn't do this. Even if it was just a dance, it felt wrong. But my mouth went dry, and my tongue got stuck on the roof of my mouth when I felt the energy surge over me from behind. At the same time, the waters parting as the air rushed and whirled. I didn't even have time to process it before Ollie was there, towering next to where Matt attempted to bring us together. The man so big, savage and fierce, hands fisted at his sides and something like anger in his expression. There was no chance I could breathe through the impact. He turned all that intimidation on Matt.
"Sorry, brother, but I'm gonna have to cut in."
His tone was a low threat. Irritated, Matt's attention flicked to Ollie. For a second, I thought he was going to refuse. Maybe he hadn't known who it was before he'd looked, or maybe it hadn't been until then that he'd caught on to the possessive indignation that radiated from Ollie's flesh. But Matt jolted and started to slowly back away, eyes darting between us for a beat, annoyed and off-put before he seemed to give and disappeared into the fray. Then Ollie looped a massive arm around my waist as he wound the other hand into my hair. A gasp burst from my lungs. Never, ever had Ollie touched me in public. Not like this. He pulled me flush against his heat and strength and battering heart. His forehead dropped to mine, and our bodies began to sway, to move in time to the beat, our hips rocking as we fell into the dance. People throbbed around us, and he held me tighter. He bent down, wedging his knee between my thighs. One hand gripped me by the waist, that thumb running dizzying circles on my hip bone.
"Nikki,"
he murmured. My name sounded fragile and unsure where he released it an inch from my mouth.
"I'm going to lose my mind, looking at you on this floor, another man touching you."
My hands fisted in his shirt, desperate to get him closer. "Ollie," I whispered, close to begging. "What is this? I can't handle being this close to you and you push me away again." His nose brushed mine, and his expression verged on pain as he drew in a ragged breath, trembling with need. We rocked in hesitation, and his mouth was in my hair, at my temple, running tenderly down my cheek, fire on my skin. Then he brushed his lips across mine. Once, twice. So sweet. Lightheadedness swept through me like a slow dream. Then he crushed his mouth to mine. Indecision erased, the man consuming me in a way he'd never done, openly. It felt like a claiming. His hand moved to the back of my head as he angled me just right, his tongue demanding all of me right out in the middle of the dance floor. My heart took off at a sprint, racing for his that hammered in the air. And we spun, kissing, kissing and kissing and kissing. Desire flashed. Ollie groaned. I burned. Every cell in my body coming alive under his touch. He suddenly pulled away, and I was blinking, trying to find my senses. But the only thing I could see was this man, peering down at me, something so different in his gaze, powerful and unending. My knees shook, and he took me by the hand. And that was when I noticed that all of our friends were frozen in the middle of the floor. Shocked, every single one of them stared back at us. Rex cracked a grin in Ollie's direction, and Ollie just gave him a finger as he began to haul me back through the crowd. Heat flushed my body, my cheeks. Not because I was embarrassed or ashamed, but because, for the first time ever, it felt like I was finally right, and I had no idea how long this feeling would remain. I struggled to keep up on my heels as Ollie wound through the groups packed around the high-top tables, the man on a mission as he beelined for the darkened hall. The second we were in it, he had me pinned, my back against the wall and my legs around his waist. He ground himself against my center. Pleasure sparked. He groaned, the man plundering my mouth as he did.
"Nikki," he muttered, hands running the outside of my bare thighs. "Nikki."
Without setting me on my feet, he jerked me from the wall, never ceasing that frenzied kiss as he carried me the rest of the way down the hall and started up the zigzagging stairwell. We banged up the steps, the man spinning and pressing and clamoring, his hands everywhere. Needy,
as needy as his mouth that consumed mine, as needy as my pleas that whispered from my soul. My hands threaded in his hair, and my body rocked against his. Every brush spurred me higher.
"Ollie, Ollie," I whimpered, swept away in his madness,
willing to float away forever if it meant getting to be with him. He stumbled up the 3 flights of stairs. The music from downstairs became a dull, vibrating hum, our hearts becoming louder as he made it through the door to his loft. He didn't stop before he pinned me to the wall right outside his bedroom door. He pulled back, his cock straining against his jeans, pressed hot against my panties. The man panted as he stared down at me with crazed, hungry eyes. I searched for air. The only thing it accomplished was inhaling him, taking on more. Reaching out a trembling hand, I ran it slowly, tenderly, through the longer pieces of his hair, my head angled with the plea that cracked at the back of my throat.
"I want this, Ollie. I want you. But I need to know this is what you want. I can't allow you to trample my heart all over again. If you take me in that room, there's no going back for me."
Chapter 25. Ollie. Her words blasted through my consciousness, a reminder of all the mistakes I'd made. The continuous hurt I'd inflicted. Forcing myself to slow down, I spread my hand out across the side of her face, wishing I could hold all of her, wishing I could tell her I'd love her forever. Instead, a confession was falling from my mouth. "This date, it nearly ruins me every time it comes around, but this isn't about Sydney. This is about you. This is about us. This is about finding what we lost." My words grew low and fast. "You make everything feel different. Always have, Nikki. Like I'm someone else when I get near you. Like I'm someone better." Those indigo eyes moved over my face, searching and memorizing, drinking me in, remembering this moment for what it always should have been. "When I went to you last year, I was so fucked up. But I know now I couldn't go anywhere else, because you made everything right when it was so fucking wrong."
"Ollie."
I pulled her from the wall, the girl still in my arms, my face buried in her hair. "I need you. I need you in a way I never thought possible," I muttered, praying she'd get it. That it was different than when I went to her a year before telling her the same thing. This was a promise. This time, when I moved, it wasn't frenzied or panicked like it had been when I'd carried her upstairs. It was cautious and slow, holding her the way she'd always deserved to be. Tenderly. The girl, precious. I'd always wanted to wrap her up, protect her. All these years, it had made me crazy, and I'd wished for a way to scrape it from my psyche, from who I was. It had taken until tonight to realize she'd only driven me mad because I refused to allow her where she was always meant to be. With me. Mine. I laid her out across my bed. Slowly, I crawled over her, hovering, staring down at her through the milky glow of the moon that spread over the room and set her aglow. Light. "No more, Nikki. Can't go on pretending that I don't want you, that I don't need you. I want to try to be the kind of guy you deserve." Grief fisted my heart, thoughts of my sister running rampant. If I was going to be with Nikki, it was time I ripped myself open wide, my eyes squeezed closed, and my teeth ground together as I forced out the words. "I'm so lost, and I don't know if that vacant feeling is ever going to go away. Only thing I know is when I'm with you, it doesn't feel so vast." Hands caressed both sides of my face, and my eyes eased open to see the girl staring up at me, her breaths short, so much evident in her adoring gaze. Words I wasn't ready to hear. Really didn't matter if she said them aloud anyway, because I felt them when I dipped down and kissed her. Slow and tender, the softest kind of adoration on her tongue. Her fingertips slipped through my beard and found their way into our kiss, running over my lips.
"I'm right here, Ollie. I've always been, waiting for you. I can't take it away, but we can hold each other through the middle of it."
I edged back, sitting up on my knees and bringing her with me. She straddled me where I knelt on the bed, this gorgeous girl wrapped around my lap. My dick strained and my muscles ticked. I wanted to devour her, inch by inch. I held her by the side of the neck, her pulse going wild against my palm. Want to be right for you. Good for you. The hint of a smile played across her lips. The girl, so sexy. Olive skin and honeyed hair and freckled cheeks. Sunshine. She slipped down my body until she was resting on her knees. Our bodies swayed, a breath apart. Her fingertips fluttered out, running down my shirt. Need raced my veins. She gathered the hem and began to drag it up, peeking at my face as she did.
You've always been right for me. You just need to accept that you are, that none of us are perfect, that the world is cruel, but it's also given us the greatest gift.
She dragged the shirt over my head and dropped it at her side. A shudder ripped through me. Lashes of fire. That feeling again. Energy.
It gave us this?
She murmured so softly, hands tendered as they pressed to the thunder at my chest.
Us?
A moan climbed my throat, and that was all I could take, and I was pulling that silky tank over her head. No bra. Those tiny tits perky, nipples pebbled and hard. God, she would be my undoing. That moan turned to a growl and I pushed her onto her back. She bounced on the bed and a giggle slipped from between her lips. Beast, she teased. My entire chest squeezed. Warmth and fire and need. My mouth went for the flat planes of her belly, kissing across the satiny skin, my hands winding in the hem of her skirt.
Don't even know if I can bring myself to get you out of this skirt. Do you have any clue what you were doing to me all night? Looking like this?
I grumbled at her stomach. Vibrations of low laughter shook beneath my lips, and her fingers were winding in my hair.
I thought you told me the way I dressed was ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It's ridiculous how hard it makes me. Ridiculous how much it makes me want you. Ridiculous how much time I've spent fantasizing about peeling you out of those clothes. Her laughter turned into a needy gasp as I started dragging off her skirt. I took her underwear with it, sliding the fabric down those long, slender legs until every inch of her was laid bare. Shit. Ridiculous, I hissed, letting a smirk climb to my mouth. Ridiculous how gorgeous you are. She trembled, and her hips arched just from the heat of my stare.
Ollie, I need you.
And I knew. I knew that I needed her more than she could ever need me. And that was kind of fucked up, but I couldn't go on for one more second without her. She was everything. Everything. So gorgeous, I told her, the tip of my index finger running the center of her chest, riding down across her trembling belly. I eased off the bed, standing beside it, watching her in the night as I shrugged out of my boots and jeans and underwear. Her lips parted and her gaze swept over me. Want darkened those indigo eyes. Lust and desire and something that was so much bigger than that.
You are what's beautiful, Ollie. So beautiful. All these years it's been hard to look at you because I missed you so much.
Sadness tinted the words, and I knew it came from that hurt I'd inflicted. Years of rejecting us both. I reached in the drawer, quick to cover my cock, which was pointing for the sky, begging for her, before I was crawling back over her between her thighs. Desire brimmed and boiled, threatening to blow. I cradled one side of her face in my hand.
Sunshine, I whispered.
Emotion thick, her face pinched, and her chest heaved with each shallow breath. I wanted to swallow every single one of them down, keep them tucked away as a reminder of the way I felt at this moment, so I'd never forget.
Are you mine, Ollie?
Whispered from her swollen, damp lips. My mouth brushed hers, tasting the words, I've always been.
Then take me.
She wound her arms around my neck.
Keep me.
A thunder lit up my heart, pulse raging as it careened through my veins, our bodies catching as I nestled deeper between her thighs, her pussy slick and wet, my cock hard and ready. That beast she was always all too pleased to remind me I was, wanted to devour her, take her fast and wild and hard. There'd be plenty of time for that later. Tonight, I wrapped her up and nuzzled my face in her hair. My murmur climbed into the dense air.
You owned me from the first day that I met you.
She hooked her arm around my head, her perfect tits pressed to my chest, her body arching, begging for mine.
I had no idea that day that you'd become the focus of my life, the one I longed for. My whole life, all it took was a glance from you, and I knew I was exactly where I was supposed to be.
Emotion clutched and clenched. I eased back a fraction, rubbing against the slick heat that burned between her thighs. The tip of my cock caught. Our breaths hitched and our gazes tangled. For the flash of a second, it was like I felt everything snapping into place, worlds aligning and spirits sinking. Us. She was right. Exactly the way it was supposed to be. She stared at me through the shadows, her lips parting as I pressed just the tip of my dick into the silky welcome of her body. "Tell me this is what you want," I grunted, holding back.
"I want you more than you could ever know."
Her words struck me like arrows, and that was all I needed. I nudged deeper into her warmth, the girl so damned tiny that she was gasping and my jaw was clenching as I slowly spread her. Felt so much like the first time I'd taken her, when she'd cried out from the pain and begged me for more, and I'd held her and whispered that I'd love her forever. Didn't matter that I'd only been a kid. 17. I knew I'd never be given a greater gift than that. And somehow, this felt just as big. Because the girl? The girl was giving her trust, even when I knew I didn't deserve it, that I hadn't earned it. But fuck, I was gonna try. "Shit, Nikki," I wheezed as I took her by the caps of her delicate shoulders, trying to hold myself in check when this girl had always made me lose all control. She panted, her legs dropping wide, jagged gasps from her mouth as she adjusted to me again. Nails sank into my shoulders, and we both held tight until I fully buried myself in her body. Nothing had ever felt so right. "Are you okay?" I managed, propping myself up on an elbow so I could look down at her. Need prowled my spine, begging me to move, to take her right. Those eyes met mine, so intense, that feeling gripping, sinking all the way inside. She looked up at me like maybe I might be her son, the way she was mine, her voice scratchy when she said,
"You always take my breath away."
My forehead dropped to hers. "Fuck. Nikki. Sunshine." She splayed her hands out wide across my back, and I was gathering her in my arms, getting her as close as I could get her. I began to move, measured rocks of my hips as I took her. Stroke after stroke, friction and gravity. Her whimpers struck the air, and I held her, took her slow and deep while I kissed her like the treasure she was, while I cherished and adored. Because Rex was right. We never knew how many days we'd be given, and I'd already wasted too many. Her breaths came harder.
"Please."
It was a prayer from her mouth. I shifted back to kneeling, taking her with me, and the girl began to ride me like that was what she'd been made to do. Motherfucker, if it wasn't the most magical thing. Her body stretched out like a sensuous band, head tipped back, her tits in my face. Desperate hands yanked at my hair. I licked at one of those dark nipples, swirling it with my tongue and sucking it into my mouth. I pressed my thumb to her clit, winding her up. She whimpered, "Yes." It was like the girl cast a single word spell. "Yes." She went off, an orgasm streaking through every cell of her body, energy and light. She writhed on me, walls clutching my dick so damned perfectly, taking every inch of me hostage. Held by this girl, the way I'd always been. "Yes." Bliss. It exploded, splintering out, blinding my eyes and battering my senses. I came with a shout that I released right at the center of that giving heart. She sagged her sweat-slicked body against mine, and I burrowed my face in the sweet essence that radiated from her neck. Nikki sighed. My name, her breath. Couldn't believe that I was holding her like this. I tightened my arms around her waist and held her as we drifted on that energy that swam around us, soft, lulling waves. Comfort and all things right. Light. Yes. Yes. I'd give this girl my life. Chapter 26. Ollie.
Someone has some explaining to do. Couldn't stop the roll of my eyes as I climbed into Rex's huge-ass work truck. You think I could at least get in before you start riding my ass? Might be just as easy to roll down your window and shout at me where I'm standing on the sidewalk. Drive-by style. When I'd gotten his text at the ass crack of dawn claiming that he needed my help with a project, I knew I was in trouble. Wasn't like I wasn't asking for it, mauling Nikki on the dance floor right in front of our friends before I dragged her off like some kind of madman. I just couldn't hold it back a second longer. That band had stretched too thin before it had finally snapped. Rex kicked up a smirk that he punted my direction. Pretty sure it's not me doing the whole ass riding. Punk had the nerve to waggle his brows. I shook my head, but there was no stopping my grin as I hopped inside his truck and snapped the seatbelt into place. Rex pulled away from Olive's, the diesel engine loud as he accelerated down the road. From the side, I looked at him. So, did you actually need help this morning, or did you just need to say I told you so to my face sooner rather than later? Low laughter escaped him, totally at my expense. Little of both, man. A little of both. We headed out of town toward the old buildings on Row that he and Broderick would be turning into luxury condos and God knew what else. It still impressed the hell out of me that my best friend, who had been little more than a handyman, had taken the small construction company and built it into a massive enterprise. Each project got bigger and more complicated. Dude was leaving his stamp all over this small city. You don't have a crew for this shit? It's barely 9 a.m. on a Sunday, mind you. He needed the steering wheel as he made a right, hitting the two-lane road that led out of the north end of town. Taking another right up about 0.5 mile would lead to the lower lake, where we'd spent all our time as kids, and the old warehouses that lined the river up on Row were about 1 mile up from that. Yeah, yeah, I know, your lazy ass always wants to sleep half the day away. That was not the case this morning. This morning, the only thing I'd wanted to do was stay wrapped up in Nikki instead of leaving her naked and twisted in my sheets. The girl, so damned gorgeous, all lit up in the emerging morning light. Rex leered over at me like the punk he was, pure suggestion bleeding from his words. You do look a little tired this morning. Didn't get a whole lot of sleep last night? I chuckled under my breath. Asshole. Nah, didn't get a whole lot of sleep last night. I admitted, fingers scraping at the seam of my jeans, needing to do something with my hands. Agitation and residual need clamored through me, leaving my insides scrambled. My mind was still trying to catch up with what had gone down last night. Thing was, my heart was already there. The girl inevitable. Should have known it all along. After we'd finally given in, it was on. Nikki and I had gone at it again and again, hard and rough and tender and soft and every fucking thing between. We'd collapse in each other's arms, drifting off for 1/2 hour or so before one of us would once again be seeking the other in the night. Had taken all I had to peel myself away from her sleeping form when my phone had lit up with a string of texts, Rex prodding me out of that place that had become a sanctuary. About time, man, he said with a harsh shake of his head. Didn't even know if I should deny it or play dumb. He was right. It was about time. So, what changed? He attempted, stealing a glimpse at me before he looked back out through the windshield. Trees hugged the narrow road, whooshing by as he wound deeper into the area where the woods became dense, giving way to the tall, thin, spindly trees that made up the forest that surrounded the lake and river. Not sure what you mean. Deflecting. Sometimes that was all I had because I didn't think I had an answer for that. Are you kidding me? Rex laughed, an incredulous sound, and gave a harsh shake of his head. You've been tiptoeing around this thing with Nikki for years. Don't act like you haven't wanted her all this time. Second she'd walked into the room, your spine would go stiff. Willing to put down bets your dick did, too. I rubbed my hand down my beard, taunting him. Looking at my dick now? You wish, asshole. They don't make glasses that thick. Now who's wishing? I tossed back. Both of us laughed for a second before we fell into silence. Seriously, he prodded. What changed? Could feel him pushing, edging me a direction I wasn't sure I was ready to go. I blinked through the protective anger that wound back through me when I really evaluated it. Yeah. I'd felt something coming, something wicked and dark, but there'd been a tipping point.
Finding her apartment that way, knowing she could have been in danger, that someone might have hurt her. My teeth ground so hard I could hear my jaw popping in my ears. It brought everything crashing down. Turns out the punk had been leaving notes on her car, too. Just the idea of someone hurting her made me want to hunt down any fucker who even looked at her wrong and silence that threat forever. I guess that was the moment I realized I could no longer stand the thought of her being anywhere else than with me. He blew out a strained breath. So, this wasn't you pulling any of that one-night bullshit? You know Nikki doesn't deserve that, and you know she wants more than that. He slowed and took a right onto the bumpy dirt road that wound down the hill. The glittering river stretched out below us, trees reaching for the sky like they were offering up prayers to the sun. In the distance, the roofs of the old buildings jutted up through the cover of the branches, a reminder that this area had once not been so desolate. My chest clutched when we wound around a corner that opened to a field of purple blazing stars that swayed in the breeze. A million memories slammed me, one after one.
This way. Follow me. We'll be together forever.
Sydney's sweet voice as she'd run and explored and looked at the world with so much wonder in her eyes. Nikki and I in tow. I pushed out a sigh. Why do you think I've been ignoring it for so long? Last thing I want to do is hurt her. Makes me insane to hold something so precious and know that chances are, in the end, I'm going to crush it in my hands. And why would you do that? Wasn't so much of a question as a challenge. I looked out over the landscape. Men are prone to destroying beautiful things? He swallowed hard. Maybe. Unless they finally open their damned eyes and see that beauty for what it's worth. Make the choice to build it up, protect it, and keep it. Unease wound through me, and I swore my throat was closing tight. Didn't want to go there. But Nikki deserved for me to stop fucking hiding. What happens when you want to protect it and fail anyway? It was a wheeze I forced out, my inadequacy a glaring defeat. Rex came to a stop in a small clearing that had been made. Equipment and machinery had already been delivered and was set up within a temporary chain-link fence as they prepared for construction. He hesitated for a moment, squeezing the wheel, staring out the windshield to the splintered wood and crumbling stone of the weathered building. We do our best, Ollie. We live and we love. We cherish and we hold. He killed the engine, set his hand on the latch, and looked over at me. We fight with everything we have, even when we know we might lose. He clicked open the door. We do it because we can't do anything else. Because we love so hard, loving is the only thing we can do. Rena and my kids, I love them so damn much, Ollie. With every single thing I have. Never thought I'd get that chance, and I'd be nothing but a bastard and a fool not to recognize it. His message slammed me on all sides, pointed and demanding, forcing me to evaluate the way I'd been living. He climbed out and moved toward the bank of the river, staring out over it. I got out and followed. Do you remember playing here, growing up? Running wild? There was something somber in his tone. Of course I remember. Pretty much had spent the last 14 years living in the past. We were all close. I glanced at him, no clue what had climbed into the tone of his voice. Yeah, not many people get lucky enough to grow up the way we did. Remain friends the way we have? Saw the way the muscles in his arms twitched and bunched, apprehension in his stance. I need you to know you aren't alone in the regrets either, man. That you don't shoulder that alone. A gust of doubt rustled through, my nerve endings zapping with unease. You're wrong, Rex. She was my sister. My responsibility. Wasn't trying to be a dick. It was just the cold, bitter truth. His eyes flashed in a kind of grief I didn't quite understand. It was my fault, too. I was there that night, remember? You think I don't wish I could go back and change everything? I'd give anything to. But I can't, and neither can you. Both of us have to accept that. I was responsible for her. My words were a low, harsh rasp. He dropped his head, his hands landing on his hips as he struggled with what to say as he stared at the ground. Ollie, just don't, Rex. Shooting my hand out between us, I cut him off before he could get whatever bullshit he was going to say out of his mouth. Didn't need another person to tell me it wasn't my fault when I knew full well that it was. I don't need a therapist. I need a friend. That's it. Something moved through his eyes. Regret and guilt. Glaring guilt. I tried to process it. He blew out a breath toward his boots. Fine. Just forget it. Good damned idea. Yesterday was hard enough without Rex trying to make it more difficult. The worry about Nikki had only compounded it. Now that the threat was gone, I just wanted to forget it all. Push it into the past where it all belonged. Question was if I was capable of that. I forced some lightness into my words. Ready to tell me why you had to go and drag me out of my bed when I'd finally gotten Nikki into it? He laughed a little, shooting me a grin. Sorry about that. Not cool, man. You owe me big. Maybe this will suffice. What's that? With his chin, he gestured toward the row of run-down buildings. They'd been near falling down when we'd played in them, and time sure hadn't improved them. They were covered in graffiti. There was garbage everywhere, and the frames were sagging toward the ground like they didn't have the will to stand for much longer. Back building will become upscale condos, one of which will go to Nikki. First two will be what becomes the hotel and shops. He looked down the riverbank before he eyed me carefully. Plan to put in a couple of restaurants and a bar. Broderick and I want you to open a second Olives here. Stunned, I stared at him. Minutes or an hour passing, waiting for the punchline. You're serious, I finally managed when he didn't say anything. Hell yeah, I'm serious. You know Olives is the best bar in Gingham Lakes. Brody plans to make this a destination. Only the best. So of course it only makes sense to add the best bar to the list of attractions. He's funding the upfront costs, but you'll have shares in the entire development. You want me to partner with you and Brody? Still wasn't making sense of it, shock lurching through my senses. It's not like we weren't partnered on Olives to begin with. Yeah, but I hired RG Construction to redo the building. No risk on his end. He looked over at me. You act like you haven't been investing in this city, taking failing businesses and breathing new life into them. But it's always been my money on the line. If I failed, it was on me. It's your fault. I trusted you. You were supposed to take care of her. You promised you'd take care of her. It should have been me. It should have been me. In silence, we both stood there while I contemplated, warred with all the reasons I shouldn't do this. I inhaled sharply, filling my lungs with the scent of the river and damp earth and possibility. You guys really trust me to be a partner? Wouldn't ask you if we didn't. Rex started back for the truck before he paused to look at me from over his shoulder. Think maybe the only person you need to prove to that you can be trusted is yourself. I stood there, staring at him as he hopped back into the truck. Business done. My attention darted between him and the old buildings, imagining what this place would look like one day, while Rex just sat in the truck, giving me time. Finally, I hefted out of breath and strode back for the truck. I hopped inside, slamming the door shut as I said, I'm in. He started the engine. Good. I scrubbed a sweaty palm on the thigh of my jeans. And don't count on Nikki needing that condo. Rex laughed, loud and with a grin. Had a feeling you might say that.
Chapter 27 Ollie. The low grumble of my bike filled my ears as I eased into one of the parking spaces in front of Pepper's Pies. The damned grin plastered on my face was so big, there was no chance I could wipe it off. Inside, heads turned at the sound of my rumbling bike, but the only one that mattered was the girl who stood in front of one of the booths right by the window, her head jerking up and those eyes meeting with mine through the glass. My chest tightened, that feeling hitting me hard. So intense I could feel it riding through my veins, itching through me. Same way as I was itching to get my girl on the back of my bike and those long legs wrapped around my waist. Kicking the stand and killing the engine, I swung my leg over the side just as Nikki was peeking her head outside.
A smile danced on her pretty face.
What are you doing here?
I glanced at my watch. You get off at 2.
And?
It was a playful challenge. And I missed you. You have a problem with that? I all but growled, stalking her way, looping an arm around her waist and tugging her against me as she stepped all the way out onto the sidewalk. Hands clutching my shoulders, she bent back, swaying as she smiled up at me.
No, Beast, I definitely don't have a problem with that.
Good, I told her. Go get your stuff.
Bossy,
she tossed back as she started toward the door. I swatted her sweet ass. You have no idea. She yelped and then giggled.
Why do I get the feeling you're going to take all kinds of pleasure in educating me on that fact?
A smirk caught on one side of my mouth. Maybe you do have an idea. Her laugh was low. Sexy.
Oh, Ollie, we're gonna have so much fun.
My smile went soft. Yeah, we were. And we'd wasted too much time, and I was so over that. Hurry up and get that sweet body back to me.
I need to change, she said as she was stepping back inside.
I'll wait. Those pink lips twisted in a teasing pout.
You'd better.
Like I was going anywhere. Not without her. 5 minutes later, she was bursting back out the door, pretty much skipping her way over to me where I was waiting by my bike. She looked so young when she was like this, free and excited. Come here, I told her, taking her hand and guiding her to stand between my knees. I situated the helmet I'd brought for her on her head, tucking some of those warm, honeyed locks back away from her face. The girl's breaths came shorter just from that simple touch. And that's what this felt like. Simple. Simple and complicated and perfect. Like it had been coming all along. Or maybe it had just been set to pause and we had to pick up where we'd left off, even though I knew it couldn't be as simple as forgetting all those hurtful years stuck in the middle of us. Only thing I could do now was make up for them.
Where are we going?
She asked, eyes glinting with a thrill. You'll see, I told her, moving to straddle my bike and taking her with me.
Oh, come on, Ollie. That's totally not fair. I want to know.
Her voice was filled with laughter. She slid in behind me, the insides of her thighs pressing to the outsides of mine. Electricity. It zinged and shook. A chuckle rumbled free as she wrapped those arms around me. I patted her hands that locked to my stomach. Don't you trust me? I could feel the draw of her breath, the way she snuggled as close as she could get, holding on tight. Her words dropped so low I could barely hear them.
Yes, Ollie, I trust you. I trust you more than anyone else.
Trust. It was the first time I wanted her to give me hers. Swallowing any heaviness down, I kicked over the engine, rolled my bike back, my feet guiding us, before I hit the street. I kept our speed low, controlled, careful of my girl who was hugging me from behind. Her heart beating into my back, hard and wild and drumming with passion, washing me in that warmth. We headed through town, taking a couple of turns before I hit the road that led out toward the river and lakes. The air shifted as we left the traffic behind. Full, lush trees growing up at the sides of the two-lane road and closing us in. It felt like an embrace, a welcome back to the place where we always should have been. I passed by the turnoff to the lake. We'd go there one day, to our sacred place. But this felt too raw and new to dive so deeply into the past. I'd give us time, time to adjust. My bike glided around a swooping curve in the road. Swore it felt like we were flying. Nothing but the feel of the wind and the sound of my bike and the aura of us to fill our senses. Suspended. Taken. Funny because I'd never felt so close to home. I slowed when the dirt road approached and I could feel her shiver of excitement that zipped through her body when I began to wind down toward the river. We curved and wound, rounding a corner, and that same endless expanse of purple blazing stars came into view where they grew along the riverbank. Instead of continuing on to the old buildings where Rex and Broderick would be developing, where I'd be opening up a second bar, which still blew my mind, I took a right on what was nothing more than an overgrown bumpy trail down toward the river. It rippled a glittering blue. I eased to a stop beneath the big tree where we used to play. Its thick branches were stretched out like protection. A canopy of security. The old rope swing we'd swung from 1,000 times as kids was now frayed where it hung from one of the branches that reached over the river, swaying in the light breeze, in time with the spiky blazing stars that poked up through the high grasses. I cut the engine. Peace covered us. The only sounds were the gurgling river and the thunder of our hearts. For a few minutes we just sat there, taking it in. Finally I took her hand, and a shiver of nervous anticipation rolled through her, like she wasn't quite sure why we were there or what my intentions were. I started to walk backward, tugging her along. "Come here, I want to show you something." A giggle slipped from between those flirty lips, so easy and sweet, carrying on the wind.
"You do, huh?" she teased. "What exactly do you want to show me? I know your style of show-and-tell, Oliver Preston."
Laughter rumbled in my chest. "I'll show you plenty of that later, sweet girl, but right now I had something else in mind." Her brows rose.
"Really? You have something else in mind? Tell me why I don't believe you. I don't even know how I'm walking right now. You might as well keep me tied to your bed."
Lust twisted through me, hard, fast. Couldn't even come close to stopping the visions that assaulted me with just the thought of getting inside this girl again. Over the last week, I'd taken her over and over, every second I could get her. "That sounds like a great idea. I knew you were a smart one." Another giggle.
"Smart? I call it needy."
"I like you, needy, and begging my name."
"Is that so?"
She was stumbling along as I hauled her toward the tree, a smile written on every inch of her face. Hell, I could see it written all over her body. That rail-thin body I'd had to pretend wasn't close to my taste so I could try to rid her from my mind for all those years, going after girls who were exactly her opposite, praying when I closed my eyes I wouldn't see her face. Impossible. She was the only thing I'd ever seen. "That's so. I promise to make you beg it a little bit later, but right now, I want you to sit right here." I took her by the outside of her shoulders and led her to the exact spot, urging her to sit down.
"What are you doing?"
She laughed through the words, shaking her head by following along. She settled on the small incline under the shade of the tree. I took a step back, my attention rapt. "Perfect," I said. She rocked her knees that were bent, tucking her bottom lip between her teeth like she was both shy and relishing the way I was looking at her. Without a doubt, I looked like a starving man. All I wanted was to eat her all over again, consume and devour. I backed up a few more steps so I could better take her in.
"What are you looking at?"
she finally asked, her voice breathy from that connection that sizzled through the heated air. Two of us alive in the other. How the hell had I lived without this? Without her? "You?"
"I know you're looking at me, but why?"
A grin pulled at one side of my mouth. "That's exactly where you were. Right there." I could never forget it. She frowned.
"Ollie, what in the world are you talking about?"
I pointed at her. "That's where you were the day I finally admitted it." Her brows drew closer, and she minimally shook her head in question. I took a slow step back her direction. "When I admitted to myself that you were something more than my best friend. When I realized you made me feel different." I turned my gaze away, lifting it toward the wind as I let some of the memories pummel me, hit me and slam me. Instead of hating them, I welcomed them. Finally, I looked back at her. "You were whispering with Sydney. She said something about a guy, and I just knew it, that you had a boyfriend or someone had kissed you." I took another step forward, and she sucked in a shivered breath. Energy pulsed. "I'll never forget the way that felt, Nikki. The way my stomach balled up in a fist and it felt like my heart was gonna bust right out of my chest. I played it off that I was just looking out for you, but it was more." One step closer and I dropped to my knees in front of her, my hands going to her knees. I palmed them, dipped my head in closer, my mouth an inch from hers. "You were more." She reached out and cupped the side of my face, tenderness moving through her expression as she studied me, her thumb traced along the hollow of my eye, and her head tipped in emphasis. I think you were always more. I just didn't know what that meant yet. I lunged at her, tackling her to the soft earth. She gasped and yelped, and then laughed. That sweet, sweet sound floated on the wind, twisted through me. I pushed up onto my hands and stared down at her. The girl who'd always been my forever. There she was, all laid out on a bed of blazing stars. Purple, a halo around her head. I reached out and plucked one, twirled the stem between my thumb and index finger. I brushed the tip down her cheek, softly. Her lips parted on a sigh. Did you know the first time I saw you what I noticed was your eyes? I thought they were the exact same color as these flowers. But like they were floating through the air. Transparent. Like I could see right inside of you. I won't ever forget that moment either. Her fingertips scratched through my beard. I don't think I could ever forget a moment with you, Oliver Preston. I kissed at the tips of her fingers, wanting to take in every bit of her. The movement was almost playful, but my words were somber. We've got a lot of bad memories, Nikki. She nodded slow. Yeah, but we have a lot of good ones, too. That's what makes up life, the good and the bad. We couldn't have one without the other. We couldn't share a life without experiencing both sides of it. That's what you want? To share a life with me? My voice was gruff. I always wanted that. Good, I said, making her squeal when I suddenly reached around her and flipped our positions. She straddled me at the waist, her hands on my chest, all that hair blowing around her, whipped by the wind, stirring our spirits. I tightened my hold. Don't think you could get rid of me if you tried. She grinned. And why would I want to go and do something like that? Not when all my matchmaking skills have finally started to work in my favor. Oh, you think you're responsible for this too, huh? She widened her eyes. Hello, I am the orgasm fairy. And who's the one giving them? I teased. Guess I'll have to stop handing them out like they're candy and then we can decide who's really responsible. Nikki dipped down, pressing her mouth to mine. All kinds of possessive, just the way I wanted her. Then I could feel the weight of her grin. Don't you dare. You owe me all the orgasms. All of them. Forever. Greedy girl. Accept it. You created a monster. I thought you said I was the monster. Ogre, to be correct. I told you. You're my beast. Get used to it. I laughed. A laugh that came from my belly, but I was pretty sure it originated in the depths of me. In that dark place that was somehow feeling a fraction lighter. Like maybe I was finally letting a little of me go. Didn't mean I wouldn't still battle demons. But what Nikki and I had going? Maybe it was stronger. That's what I wanted to be. Strong for her. Right for her. I brushed my knuckles down the defined curve of her face, and she leaned into my touch. Everything I have, I want to give to you. I belong to you, Nikki. And I wasn't going to let anything get in the way of that. An hour later, I weaved back into town, Nikki clinging to me where she sat on the back of my bike. Wasn't sure anything had ever felt so right. I rumbled to a stop in front of the old market that we used to come to all the time as kids, saving up coins so we could go in to buy ice cream or candy or sodas. The second I stopped, Nikki was climbing off and going through the buckle of the helmet, grinning back at me as she headed for the entrance, since she'd said she would just run in really quick to grab something to make for us for dinner tonight. I hopped off, stalking right behind her. She'd barely made it onto the sidewalk when I snagged her wrist, spun her around, and pinned her to the wall. Plastered myself against that sweet body. I kissed her hard, tongue gliding against hers, my hands wrapped up in that honeyed hair. She released a tiny moan, and I rubbed myself against her, and she was moaning again before she was laughing and pushing me back. What are you doing, Ollie? You're going to get us arrested for indecency. The only thing indecent around here is how hot you look. Ollie, she admonished, a flush lighting up those cheeks.
Sunshine. What? My girlfriend is smoking hot. Her eyes went wide. So, yeah, it was the first time I'd said it in what felt like 100 years. I'd said it before, but I'd never gotten to claim it. I grabbed her hand and started leading her toward the entrance, my voice lifting a little louder than it probably needed to be. Strike that. It was completely 100% necessary. My girlfriend is hot, I shouted. Ollie! Nikki's head whipped around, wondering what attention we'd gathered, but she was giggling under her breath. She struggled to keep up as I hauled her inside and grabbed a cart. I started pushing it down the first aisle.
I thought I was just running in by myself, she asked.
What? I just wanted to be near my girlfriend. Yep, the words were elevated again. A woman who was probably only a handful of years older than us cut us a glance. I totally ignored it. What are we having for dinner? I'm going to need to hang down in the bar for a few hours to make sure things are running smoothly, but I won't stay too long.
Chicken and potatoes? And you don't have to take off more time, Ollie. You've barely been down there all week.
What? I just want to be with my girlfriend. The last, I all but shouted. An old lady blushed, peeking our way, her husband grinning wide. My girlfriend is gorgeous, isn't she? I asked them as they ambled by. I swept an arm at Nikki like she was a prize. That's exactly what she was. Sure is, the old guy agreed. Almost as pretty as mine. His wife shushed him with a blush, and I was grinning so fucking hard I thought I was going to break my face. Nikki's smile was just about as big, but she was shaking her head, tugging at my hand like she needed to get me out of there before I caused any more of a scene.
Are you insane? You're going to get us kicked out of here.
Wouldn't be the first time, I told her.
Yeah, and the last time I had to have my mama come pick me up at the station because you and Rex had knocked that whole display over playing chase. Whole wall of glass mayonnaise jars smashed on the ground. It wasn't pretty.
But you're pretty, I shot at her.
Ollie?
She was smiling as she searched my eyes, clearly wondering what had gotten into me. She had. She so absolutely had. I yanked her close to me. I want everyone to know it, Nikki, that you're mine. No more hiding. She set both of those hands on my face and hiked up on her tiptoes. She pressed the gentlest kiss to my lips.
No more hiding.
Come here, I told her, voice going soft as I wound her in front of me, wrapping my arms around her and taking the cart again. She giggled and sank against my chest, my mouth planting kisses along the side of her jaw as we wandered down the aisle. Mine, I whispered against her temple.
Nikki?
The voice stopped both of us in our tracks, and our attention jerked to the source. There was Sammy coming the other direction, a baby sleeping in her arms and her husband pushing a cart beside her. Bottled rage rumbled in that ugly dark space inside of me. I knew it wasn't gone. There were some things that didn't just go away, like the fury I felt that some asshole had hurt her in some way. Nikki had confessed to me a few days ago that she was having trouble sleeping because she was so worried about her sister. That her sister hadn't called her or come to her, and Nikki was fearing she wouldn't be able to sit idle for much longer, worried her sister might be in trouble. Surprise streaked across Sammy's face as she took in the two of us. Nikki was still caged between the cart and me, my head barely angling toward them, two of us about as close as we could get in a public place. I could feel the strain return to Nikki, and she unwound herself from my hold and cleared her throat. Sammy actually grinned, wry and knowing. Eyes so close to the same as Nikki's were locked on me for a beat before she turned her attention to Nikki.
Looks like we have some catching up to do.
A nervous giggle escaped from Nikki, and she fidgeted with her hair, trying to straighten it, which was impossible after the ride on the bike. She peeked back at me.
Yeah, we definitely have some catching up to do.
Nikki seemed to shake the surprise off and stepped toward her sister, lowering her voice.
How have you been?
Awareness moved through Sammy's expression, and my eyes were locked on her husband. Studying. Searching. Watching for any sort of reaction that might be off. Sammy glanced over at her husband. There was no warning for her to keep quiet. No hardness. Just a soft understanding in his eyes.
The anger that threatened to boil inside of me eased back into a simmer. I was pretty sure this guy wasn't the one responsible for whatever Sammy was going through. Sammy turned back to Nikki.
I've been good.
Swore. 1,000 unsaid words were offered between the two of them. Nikki suddenly reached out.
Give me that baby.
Light laughter filtered from Sammy.
Bossy. I'm your big sister. It's your job to listen to me.
You wish. Sammy tossed back at her, but she was passing a sleeping bundle off to Nikki. Nikki took the baby, a soft sound leaving her mouth as she shifted the tiny thing and set her against her chest. The little girl's head turned to the side, still sleeping, face scrunched up as she snuggled against Nikki's warmth. Nikki bounced her. Sometimes it was a little too much when your connection to someone was so intense, because I could feel her spirit doing some crazy thing, making the air seem too thin. She looked up at me with those indigo eyes, adoring. Hugging the baby to her chest, she whispered up at me.
Ollie, this is my niece Penelope. Isn't she incredible?
Her smile was so soft I felt it cut right through the center of me. Tentatively, I reached out and ran my knuckle down the baby's soft, plump cheek. She's beautiful. Nikki looked back down, her voice not intended for me.
She's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
I stepped back, watching her as she rocked and cooed and pressed kisses to the crown of Penelope's head before she reluctantly passed her back to Sammy. The sisters embraced with the baby between them, the two of them whispering words, ones I knew were of encouragement. Because that was Nikki, spreading her light, giving, doing her best to pour a little good into this wicked world.
Chapter 28. Nikki. I stood at the wall of windows that looked out on the city spread out below me. It was nothing but a maze of twinkling lights, streets and neighborhoods and cars. Behind me, the door creaked open. At the sound, my spirit jumped into a frenzy, instant and eager as it stretched out for him. Slowly, I shifted to look at Ollie, who had frozen in the doorway. My breath hitched, caught up in his potency. He stood stock still. I thought maybe he couldn't believe I was standing there any more than I could, unable to fathom he was coming home. And he was coming home to me. "Are you already finished?" I asked, flashing him a smile as I turned the rest of the way around and moved into the kitchen. "I thought you decided you needed to stay a little longer tonight?" He stepped into the loft and clicked the door shut behind him. "Think I was missing someone." "Is that so?" I went to the stove where I was making a lemon-garlic chicken and roasted potatoes. I peeked over at him, lifting a shoulder as I did. "And just who was it you were missing?" So what if I put a little flirt in it? This was my man we were talking about. He stalked across the space, coming right up behind me, towering, eclipsing. He was all too quick to tug me against that wall of muscle. The man was so big I could wear him like a blanket. He gathered up my hair in one hand so he could run his mouth along the sensitive flesh of my neck. "You," he murmured. Chills flashed, streaking across my skin. That feeling took a dive directly in that pool of desire that had taken up permanent residence low in my belly. "That's good," I whispered, bringing the wooden spoon to my mouth to test the sauce. "Because I was thinking about you."
"You'd better be."
I could feel his smile at the side of my neck. "Like I ever stop. How was it downstairs?" I asked.
"Busy."
"And you're here?"
"It's where you are, isn't it?"
Butterflies. They should have been impossible after all this time, after everything we'd been through. Yet there I stood, feeling like that 15-year-old girl who'd been kissed for the first time under a waterfall.
"Besides, I was pretty sure I could smell you making dinner all the way down there. Stomach was growling."
He kissed up and down my neck.
"Among other things. Insatiable."
"I thought you told me earlier that you wanted all the orgasms." It plucked a laugh free.
"You have me there."
"See, we're completely on the same page. Think we totally have what it takes to make this work." I could feel the tease tinting every single one of his words. Today had been bliss.
It just kept getting better and better. "Want a taste?" I asked, spooning some sauce onto a spoon and lifting it to his mouth. He groaned when it touched those full, full lips, framed by that beard.